You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay was originally aired on May 29th, 1987.
This is the week when the viburnum, the dogwood, silky, red osier, gray stem, and alternate leaf, and the black locust have drawn attention to the hedgerows. This is an annual event, not to be ignored by the true lover of the sights, sounds, and aromas of spring. Still, I'd hate to see you so preoccupied with the hedgerows that you ignored the emergence of the calico fields. I'm referring here to the recently abandoned or indifferently tended meadows or fallowed field in which rocket, dandelion, fleabane, and campion have produced a spotted tapestry of green, pale gold, pink, and white, as striking as the mottled cotton prints that the term calico usually calls to mind. There are two ways to view the calico fields. From afar, as for instance from slow-moving or even from parked automobile, or from a close, as for instance from the fawn's eye or even from the bee's eye view. Either one takes a bit of orientation, and both are necessary if the message of the calico fields is to be fully appreciated. This is a case where a rural background is not really an advantage, because let's face it, folks, we're talking here about weeds again. It takes a bit of sophistication and a bit of detachment for the farmer to see beauty in a field liberally spotted with weeds. Without much introduction, let's look first at the calico field from a distance. Since most aspects of agriculture are based on monoculture, the nurture of one species of plant per field, no cockle in the cornfield, no mustard in the oat field, the well-tended field has a certain uniformity of color and texture about it. Withhold the mower or the plow or the cattle for just a year, however, and the calico pattern begins to appear. It may be the pink and white of musk mallow, slavishly aligned with the old tillage patterns to start with. But ere long, indiscriminately placed patches of pale yellow rocket, buttercup, or hawkweed will infuse the fields, intermixed soon with the white or pale pink of campion and the blue of speedwell, violet, and varied mints. The ultimate in calico-ness, if there is such a thing, is introduced by Dame's Rocket, a plant which will grow in the sun-bathed open fields or in the shaded fringes of the hedgerows. The colors of this showy member of the mustard clan provide a complex of pastel shades that are distinctly modern. Like so many of these invaders of the neglected field, the rocket, which some people call wild phlox, is an alien. It cannot, I believe, trace its American ancestry even halfway back to the Plymouth landing of the Mayflower. This is only a small sampling of the many field flowers that invade the springtime meadows. Since most of the field invaders are pale in color or diminutive in stature, they are not as evident or as memorable as the sequences of blooms that follow. Orange daylily, sky blue chicory, pinkish purple loosestrife, lazy white Queen Anne's lace, and golden white daisy enhance and punctuate the deepening mantle of the summer field. It must be a time of great confusion for the honeybee, which likes to concentrate on one source of nectar until that supply is exhausted. Fortunately, however, the summer insect population is legion. There never seems to be a shortage of pollinators. That the honeybee concentrates on the speciation of the calico field is a reminder of the second way to view the field, the bee's eye view. If we examine the field as the bee does, from flower to flower, we discover a second kind of treasure, that of form and function. It's a fact that the flowers of the field are as exquisite in form as any that can be found in the best-tended garden. Take along a magnifying glass. No bloom in the calico field becomes less interesting or less attractive under magnification. The graceful little field chickweed, its dainty petals cleft almost to their base, shows five dull brown and five bright salmon antlers. A lovely little surprise. The stamens of the golden wood sorrel unite at their bases to form a tube surrounding the pistil. You have to search among the taller weeds to locate them. There amongst the base of the taller weeds, you may locate also the purple four-lipped trumpets of Jill over the ground. You'd never see them from your automobile. Next, direct your lens to the golden heads of Canada hawkweed. You may not even have to bend down to view the flowers. What you discover is that the hawkweed bloom is really a complex of strap-shaped flowers on one head, each linear floweret accompanied by a tall, slender pistil with gracefully curved stigmas at the summit. Believe me, if you have any eye for form at all, you'll not regret a few moments spent examining the floral denizens of the calico field at close range. All of this leaves me without time to comment on the social significance of the calico field. That will have to wait for another time. Now, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.